Welcome to In-Depth, an in-depth look at the interesting, educational, and timely topics affecting you right here in Marion County and beyond. The one to count on for today's local news coverage is KNIA KRLS. And now with today's In-Depth, here is Dr. Bob Leonard.
It's that time of year again. The eagles are gathering. Let's go in-depth with Marion County naturalist Marla Mertz. I thought it was going to be colder. It's not too bad. Breeze is coming up.
It's not too bad, and we're along the Des Moines River ready to go on Horns Ferry Bridge, but I have a feeling that it's going to be colder once we get to the bridge.
All right. Well, let's try it. Let's try it.
Okay. Well, as I drove in this morning, I was able to count 17 eagles just along the corridor here, and once we get up to the bridge, I bet we get to see a few more.
Well, and how do people get to Horns Ferry Bridge?
Well, it would be on just past Howell Station below the Red Rock Dam. So if you're familiar with the Howell Station campground, I believe it's the end of 198th place.
Okay, and so we're like on Idaho Drive, just turn right at the gas station there.
Yes.
Left, depending on which way you're coming from, turn south.
Right, exactly, and go all the way to the end.
Well, look, there's one taking off.
They've been fishing pretty regularly, and then if you look in the trees, I see quite a few adults, and I put the binoculars on them, and there's a lot of juveniles up there, too, that you're just not seeing because they really blend in with the cloudy day and the trees. But Horns Ferry has been here since 1881. It was the first wagon bridge in Marion County that was really lucrative in getting the community and progress going here. And in 1992, half of it folded into the river. So Horns Ferry has been utilized as a pedestrian bridge and an observation bridge for a lot of the wildlife and migrating species that stay here through the winter. And, of course, there's a lot of activity in the summer as well. But it's a great place to come to view the bald eagles.
Let's walk out a little bit, and I'm going to try counting. The white heads just really pop out in the tree line, don't they?
They do. Even in the fog, you would think you wouldn't be able to see the eagles, but they just kind of glow.
Yeah, I'm counting. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20. Well, that's just, I'm not even looking all around. 21, wow.
Just right there. And the young birds, of course, don't have the white head and the white tails. They're usually around the age of 5 before they molt and get that full white head and tail. So you see a lot of birds that are in transition. First-year birds are usually pretty dark and sometimes are mistaken for hawks within the eagle community, but they are a little bigger. They have a few more feathers than their adult counterparts. As they grow, the molting kind of changes, and there's a lot of different spots, browns, and things like that coming across on the body. And then when they're about 4, they get kind of a dark eye line on their head, and on their 5th year, they may or may not become reproductive at that time, but they cannot reproduce until they're at least the age of 5.
Well, it's a little windy out here, and I'm wondering if it's rattling the mic a little bit. Why don't we go into the cars? It's a little chilly, too.
Oh, yeah, it's damp.
More in depth after this.
I continued my conversation about eagles with Marion County naturalist Marla Mertz. I was looking sort of to the east across the river, and I counted, 21 eagles? Now I look to the right. There's a lot more. How many do you think might be down here below the dam?
It's hard to say, and right now is feeding time. They're trying to get ahead a little bit before this major cold and ice and wind happens to come along, conserving energy. Along the corridor here within the trees. Now, straight across from the river here is the Gladys Black Eagle Refuge. And that whole corridor there with all those trees are known as historic roost sites for migrating bald eagles, as well as our resident birds. But we do get birds from Canada and Minnesota and other places that winter here, so it looks like we have a larger population. So there can be anywhere from, you know, 20 to 125 eagles that you can view from below the Red Rock Dam, kind of depending on the weather and what's coming in. Sometimes the worse the weather is, the better the viewing, which sounds kind of bad, but they want to feed and get into sheltered areas to where they can conserve energy to wait out the really frigid time. And this water is continuously open.
Well, and as this interview is taking place, it's Friday, right before we might get a big storm. When this airs, we won't know if we got it or not. But
right,
you think they're anticipating that? Can they tell changes in the air pressure or anything?
They tell changes in numerous different ways. And, of course, that's part of the importance of the corridor here. Before the main part of the lake started to freeze, they were scavenging and utilizing a lot of other food sources as the water was open, and so territories were open. But our resident birds, there's one flying right above our heads here.
It was in the tree right below it.
But our resident birds here, especially our nesting birds, they don't migrate. They stay here because we have everything that they need in order to stay. And they will continue to defend their territories here for as long as it takes. Right now is nest building and stick carrying and things like that, and getting prepared for early spring nesting. And as of last year, we had 20 considered active territories in Marion County for nesting. But that doesn't mean that they've all reproduced. It's just active territories where they defend their territory and that they have probably been in that territory for a period of time to where they don't allow other eagles to nest within that area. So,
what, they go attack them?
Well, they will. They'll chase them out. They're very protective of their territory, and usually they have everything set up to where they want it to be. You know, they're already 5 years old by that time, so they've lived quite a bit of life, you know, before that time, and everything has to be just perfect. But you've got young birds that will maybe build nests within the territory too, but they aren't active. They're just nest building, prolific nest builders.
Okay, so there's like 7 in that tree over there. Are they kin, or?
They very well could be. They may not be. We really don't know that for a fact. If you kind of view and watch specific families, sometimes you can see the young of past years kind of with them, bothering them. They have no problem, you know, stealing prey from others. They're scavengers. They aren't strictly fish eaters. So they're kind of being seen everywhere now, in the farm fields, scavenging on deer, roadkill deer, along the medians. But this is just a fascinating viewing area for Marion County, and it has been historically known to watch and view the eagles. Of course, we didn't have them for so many years as we were growing up. We didn't have bald right. eagles to see, and
it's just magical to see them now. It's hard for young people to appreciate that they were just about gone.
They were. They were. We had very few pairs within Illinois, Iowa, and Missouri. And in 1997, don't quote me, but it was in the latter part of the 90s, was our first eagle nesting here in Marion County since European settlement. So, you know, it looks like we have a large population of eagles now. We really don't. We have all the migratory birds. But, of course, historically, the Mississippi River is the river that holds the largest amount in the upper Midwest of migrating bald eagles. But we just get we get a good sight here too.
More in depth after this. I continued my conversation about eagles with Marion County naturalist Marla Mertz.
Well, this is a perfect place for viewing. I mean, we can see everything from the car, but it's not just us. There's somebody else watching, and somebody just drove behind us. It's a lot of people are coming out.
There's already been five people on the bridge, and I got here about 10 minutes before you did. I kind of wanted to see what the area was like, and we've got a lot of ducks that are moving today, so I think everything's starting to bulk up and get their food. And that's just a great time. It's good viewing of a morning. Once they, you know, come up from their roosts, their feeding time usually is 9 o'clock to 11:30, and then they'll probably go roost for a period of time. If they're able to get back out, then they start feeding again before they go back to their winter roosting sites, whether it be here or on downriver. Downriver, close to Harvey, is a really nice wooded area for roosting and getting under cover away from the winds and the elements. And so lots of times they fly on downriver in order to isolate themselves a little bit from the weather.
Are there courtship rituals?
Those are going on now. They have been not so much the migratory birds, but you do notice it once in a while. Our resident birds do a lot of courtship. Again, if they're a bonded pair and expected to nest in the spring, they've already started working on their nests and stick carrying and going through a lot of the rituals that they do as a bonded pair. So hopefully out of the 14 active nests that we've had in Marion County last year, out of 20 territories, we'll have maybe one or two more active nests this year.
Otherwise,
it just keeps
just
growing.
Hit the water.
They're doing a lot of fishing this morning.
It's like they're taking turns. Is that what they're doing? One will just sort of fall from the tree and then swoop out over the river and grab a fish.
It kind of seems that way. And sometimes, oh, you know, you just kind of wonder. I think, like when working with the osprey and stuff, we had birds that would find fish in a certain area or a certain school, and they would go tell everybody, you know, so they would know to go fishing. So I don't know if that happens in with the eagles, but right now they're all on the lookout for easy pickings, and they're opportunistic feeders, so whatever is easiest to catch is what they're going to go for, whether it be in the water or on the ground. But yeah, it's quite the sight to see, and you could just spend hours here and watch the magic happen. You know, they're not being vocal this morning. I was kind of hoping that there would be some calling going on, but it's very quiet this morning.
So they're reading each other's body language.
They do.
And probably reading each other in flight, and they're seeing things we wouldn't even imagine that they're seeing.
Mm-hmm.
And they're communicating in, I'm just guessing, complex ways, and we can't even imagine.
We can't even fathom the survival skills that our wildlife has. And they have to deal with that every day. And, it's things that we cannot copy or mimic as much as we would like to try. They're pretty tops when it comes to survival skills. But yet, their family units are amazing. As with most of our wildlife, most of our warm-blooded animals are great family units.
Well, so when can we expect to see the young ones? When are they going to nest and see and the new eaglets, I guess we'd call them?
Well, hopefully we've had eggs as early as the early part of March, sometimes even in the late February. It just kind of depends on the age of the bird and it's really kind of hard to explain. if they're experienced and been a bonded pair for a while, lots of times they will nest earlier than a younger pair. It's just through observation and kind of watching. Historically, up north, late February was like the first nesting with eggs. We used to think the great horned owl was our earliest nester, but I think there's getting to be a little competition there of January, February nesting, and then the eagles are starting to kind of jump into that as well. So hopefully by April we'll have some babes.
Is it important for people to just take a few minutes, and if not come here, just to pay attention to nature and to just sit and learn and not move? And it's so hard for us not to just keep moving and doing, but we miss so much.
We miss a lot. And for some of us, you know, it's just spectacular to come and watch their grace. And they're the king, you know. Their stature is just something that you enjoy seeing. It's fulfilling to see. But to observe them, they teach you a lot. And some of us have to have that. It kind of fills the soul. But we also look at it as the health of the river corridor and the water communities, as these birds are indicator species. And when there's an issue in our environment that can eventually affect us, they're the first ones to tell us. And if you're in tune with what wildlife tells you and concerned with their habitat and what their needs are, they're a life lesson in themselves, you know. You don't need the book. You just need the bird.
Thanks to Marla Mertz for contributing to the program. For KNIA KRLS News, this is Dr. Bob Leonard bringing you today's news and information in depth from our little corner of the universe.
In Depth is available for podcast in the radio audio media player on KNIAKRLS.com. You'll find additional information, pictures, and more, or subscribe to the In Depth podcast and never miss an episode. If you have local topics you'd like to hear on In Depth, send an email to Bob Leonard at KNIAKRLS.com. The one to count on for today's news and local information is KNIAKRLS and KNIAKRLS.com.